So a song is a song of encouragement to each one of us if we follow Jesus Christ. He is coming soon, very soon, for his bride. But God doesn't do anything without telling his church what he's going to do first. And now I want to share this with you for a moment. In Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 25. And you're welcome to turn there and jot it down. But God just wants me to share this morning with his children. As a reminder to a lot of us, and for some, as I bring this forth, they're going to say, yeah, we've heard that before, blah, blah, blah. But nobody in this church is going to say that, because they say, man, we live on the Word of God. The Word of God is there to encourage us. It's not just a bunch of words written together to entertain us. It's given to us to be prepared. But in the 21st chapter of Luke, 25th verse says, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now listen, church, what he's saying here. He said, now, when you see these things in place, okay, these things are taking place, people are running scared and fainting. He says about you, you stand up, straighten up, because your redemption is near. He said, you're not going to go through that part of it. That's a sign to you that the church is going to be gone. You understand that? That's our sign. But he gave us a warning ahead of time. These things will take place. And they're taking place today. Do you know how Satan come in your head and say, well, listen, it's been going on for a long, long time. Okay, and so you just sit down and listen, my heart breaks, but I see taking place right now for the nation. There has been a spirit of fear come over the nations, even come over the churches. Okay? We have nothing to fear. Amen. God's word is true. Not to be fearful. Some people stay home today out of caution. They're not fearful. Amen? You hear me, church? There's a difference between using wisdom and being scared. Amen? There's a difference staying home because you're not feeling very well, you don't want to pass something around, than being scared to death to go outside. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So please, don't mix up fear and wisdom. God doesn't want that to take place. But the things that you're seeing taking place now, he said, man, these will take place. And look at me, men will faint. And women also, mankind, because what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And we saw some of that taking place over here, locally. I mean, people fighting over toilet paper. Man. But God said this early this year. We brought back up this morning with him. He said, be prepared for what you're about ready to see you've never seen before. How many remember that? He said, be prepared. And folks, this isn't it. This isn't nothing to what's coming. Understand, church? What this is right now, even for us, this is a wake-up call. Because we know these days are coming. Amen?
Amen.
How many of us caught off guard? Don't raise your hand. How many things, oh man, I don't have this, and you had to run to the store also. That's cool. Because now you realize, man, I'm not prepared. And God wants you to be. He doesn't want you to be a hoarder. He don't want you to go in your house, shut the doors, and stand there with a shotgun. We have living truth in us. He says, my children will never beg for food. Why? Because they already told us in advance what will take place. We need to use this time to make sure that we are prepared, because look what a blessing it would be. Something so simple, we laugh about toilet paper. But can you imagine walking across the street to your neighbor with a roll of toilet paper when they had none? I mean, we all like toilet paper, right? I hope you all say amen. If not, you're the one I'm looking for back here. No. But can you imagine something as simple as a roll of toilet paper? Now, listen, I know you need this. Number one, somebody sharing something is unheard of. And two, to have you offer it to them. How do you know I need a toilet paper? I mean, God has laid on my heart. How do you have toilet paper? Well, let me share something with you. Let me take you to the scriptures and let me show you God's love. He's already told us in advance that these things are going to take place. That He's coming back soon. And so we have prepared ourselves that way we can continue with Him. People are looking for answers. And they're listening to the loudest voice normally. Now, I have repented from this before I say this, okay? I've already seeked God's forgiveness. I said, forgive me, I shouldn't even thought about this. But I want to share it with you, okay? I told my wife, what I need to do is go over to Walmart, go to some store, or get on the internet and say, man, we just found out. There's an ingredient in preparation H applied to your rear end that it will get rid of the virus. I said, you can see people are running to the stores, buying up all the preparation H, okay? I said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, because they would be doing that. Taking that to each one of us. They're running, looking for answers. We have the answer. Amen? And I repented from that joke. I didn't do it, you know what I'm saying? But it just broke my heart that people are looking for it. They'll try anything. Have you ever been in a position before that you will try anything, whatever it might be? Whether you're trying to get rid of a headache, whatever it might be, you just, I'll try anything. But folks, these are the signs already written 2,000 years ago. They can't say, well, you're just making that up. No, it's already written, been documented, and we've been carrying around in our Bibles for decades and centuries for a lot of us. And not, well, you're the only one carrying around for a century, Bob. Sorry about that, buddy. In a good way, you know what I'm saying? But we have the answer there. And we need to use this time to share that. But the number one thing is for you to understand that these things will take place. And understand that, folks, you haven't seen nothing yet. Not to scare you, but prepare you. And when you get up and the stock market is gone, don't let it shake you. Where do we find our stability at? In God. In God. Because God loves His creation so much, He'll allow things to take place to humble them. And we need to be there with the answers to share. And that's where we're at today. So many signs He's given us. And I don't want to, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I'm saying, man, this is awesome. But number one, it's sure He's coming back. And that scripture says that man, when these takes place, He didn't say run and hide. He's telling the church, hey, listen, you straighten up. You straighten up. Your redemption is coming. It's here. And we'll be out. It's called the taking away of the church, the rapture of the church. But He doesn't want us to sit down and just wait for that. People are looking for answers, and we have that. I know after 9/11, the churches were flooded with people looking for answers. And I believe the same thing is taking place now, that people are looking for answers. And they're getting some answers, but it needs to be coming from a biblical point of view. You know, I don't know about this virus. I believe it's been here for quite some time. I believe I've had it. My wife, I believe a lot of people in the church have had it. We've had stuff. They didn't have a name for it. It wasn't the flu, but we come through it. We were watching Fox News this morning trying to get an update on it. They had people on there that had this stuff. And, hey, relax. You know, you'll come through it. Okay? So, don't let it scare you. Okay? Caution? Yes. Wash your hands? Yes. If you need to stay home? Yes. But don't let it scare you. Don't let it make you do things that, man. And then be there to be able to share with others what the Bible says. And I know a lot of us will get that response. They've always said that. Right? I always said that. But what's the one key that took place, that had to take place, before we say yes, but? What's that key? The fig tree. Amen, brother. Jesus spoke of a parable. You know, I'll share again. Many of you heard this before, but I want you to know that God referred to Israel as a fig tree. Clear back in Hosea, I think it's Jeremiah, talking about his people come together and they were blooming, a nation. And then what happened? They got taken to captivity, and Israel fell in for 2,000 years. Israel wasn't a state. They weren't. They didn't have a country. But Jesus told the disciples, and he tells you and me this, the signs of my return, wars and rumor wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We see the kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light battling right here tremendously in the United States right now. It's been like that around the world for quite some time. And he says that kingdom against kingdom, rumor of the wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilence. This virus falls under pestilence. But he says, when the fig tree blooms again, I'll tell you, this generation will not pass away. That's Jesus. He's the one that's coming back. Now, the Bible even says he doesn't know the day or time he's coming, only the Father. But he knows the season. And he told us, that's why I'm coming back. And Israel became a state in 1948. The fig tree bloomed again. And we have his word, this is how close that we are to it, to his coming. So that has never been taken, that never took place until 1948. So you see how, counting forward, generations are 70 to 80 years. And so that's how close that we are to it. And people need to understand that he is coming back. He is coming back. Coming back for his church. There's going to be a sound, the Bible says, sound of the trumpet, of the archangel. And those who die believing in Jesus, their graves are going to be opened up. They're going to rise up. Their body and their spirit and soul come back together. Then those of us who are still remain loving Jesus, our body is going to be changed and will be taken out. Then the 7 years of tribulation will be taking place. But that's, again, he told us in advance this was going to be taking place. And may our hearts never get to the point, yes, I'm glad them guys will be left behind. They need this. Our heart has to be, man, that God loves them, loves every one of us. And he wants to use us, work through us. And how will people know if we don't share? How will people know God's love and goodness if we really don't know it ourselves? Amen? You know, we gotta be convinced ourselves that God loves us so much that Jesus really did die on that cross for our sins, you know? We were blessed Friday evening. We had a mama come in with her child and come down the altar and surrender her life to Jesus Friday night. I mean, the Spirit of God is still moving. When I spoke to this lady, she was in the shower, getting clean, taking a shower, and God just started talking to her, said, you need to get down here. And to church, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. In my head, yes, thank you. She is my head once while my wife does. Okay, let's bring us around here. And may come in and hear the gospel and the Spirit of God surrender her life. So God is still marching on, you know. So, look, thank God that we're still here. Because if we wasn't, the window of opportunity would be closing a lot, you know. Because living is the outside of each one of us who are born again is that Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God right now, which is called the restrainer, is keeping as much evil back as possible. But when the church is taken out, man, we're not here to intercede anymore, to pray. And I'm telling you think things are bad now, deception, how bad deception is? When we're not here, and people will be believing a lie, worshiping a lie. And so even though we want to go home, one of us wants to go to be in heaven. May our hearts be that one more day, Lord. I can take it one more day. I can hang in one more time because people are still coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that's what He's called us to do, to share that. A couple of scriptures for this weekend that we've been sharing. Number one for us, and we did last week, was 2 Chronicles. Remember that. Chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "And my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." And I truly believe as we read that scripture, as He's talking to those who are born again, as we humble ourselves, seek our forgiveness of sins, and pray. And the prayer is also, yes, we pray for our enemies. You know, the world, the United States, the way it is right now, according to the word there, because of God's people. Okay? Because God's people went adrift. God's people basically turned away from Him. God's people was taking all the credit for themselves, all that He's been doing. And He said, maybe we humble ourselves and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. And you think, well, I'm not wicked, but folks, anytime we take God's credit, that's being wicked. You know, when we don't give God glory for what He's done in our life and we take the glory for it, that's being wicked. We're taking it away from Him. And then, when we don't do what His Word says, and I know it's training ourselves, but if we have not been praying for the enemies of the cross, like I said before, we have no enemies. If you're born again following Jesus, you don't have an enemy. It's Jesus that has the enemy. And they come against you because Christ lives in you. But if we have not been praying for our enemies, then we are wicked in the eyes of God. We are disobedient to Him. And so He says, man, if you turn from your wicked ways, seek my face, I will heal your land. Yeah, I will give you strength. Okay? And I just thank God right now that in this time that we are, that we do have a lot of outreach that we can do through the church. We are not being smothered right now. Amen? So He has healed that part of our land already, you know, as we continue to seek Him, you know, our religious freedoms. That we can gather here, that we can worship, we can praise Him, and we can reach out to others and share God's love. But He calls upon us to do that. And His Word says for us to pray for those who are in authority over us. You know, pray that we might have peace. You know, and our president today asks for us all to gather in prayer and to seek God and have the Lord involved in this. That we will seek for a cure for this virus, and at the same time, that through this, that God may be glorified in it. You know, our president had made a comment that this thing will go away just as quickly as it showed up. He's basing his faith upon the Word of God. If my people will come together. And in Psalms 91:11, you want to turn there. I'm going to start with verse 9. Psalms 91:9. "For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Now that's God's promise. Amen? "They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down." They say no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And we stand upon that Word of God. God's Word is powerful when believed and when spoken. the spoken word of God. And that's where some people, they're afraid to speak out the word of God. Because I think people are going to think they're idiots because they walk around their house speaking out the word of God. But God's word says it will not come back void. So, your house today, you go home, what are you going to do? Walk around and quote that scripture. Yeah. God's word says, Psalms 91:10, that no plague will come near my house. Amen? And that's His promise to us. And we speak out, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Man, I'm made in the image of the living God. Sickness and disease is not welcome in my house. Yeah. Speaking His word out. I even know folks who walk around their property speaking the word of God out. It's alive. We speak to our well. It shall produce good water. I mean, we have that. And Carol did a teaching the other night in Bible study about talking to water. Actually talking to water, yelling at it, and speaking scripture, and it changes the molecules of the water itself. And water is like, your body is 70% water. Think of that. If you can speak to a glass of water, and it's in the microscope, and you watch the molecules go crazy, and then when they spoke the word of God over it, if I'm mistaken, it forms a Star of David. I mean, folks, listen, that is water responding to the spoken word of God. You are at least 70% water. So when the word of God is spoken over you, that molecules, see what's going to take place? I mean, it's healing. I mean, I know you might feel like, oh, I don't know how I can do that. But you sit there and you speak the word of God out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and your body hears that. And the multitudes are coming together. But God formed everything. He spoke it. The earth, He spoke it. Amen? Dirt. Are you made out of dirt? Amen. Are you made out of water? Okay. No? Yes. Yes, I thought you said something. Okay. Yeah. We're made out of dirt, out of water. God took all that, but then He formed this in His image. But He breathed His Spirit into us when He first made mankind. We become a living soul, but we are created out of material that He spoke to, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do. So when the Bible says that He sent His word to heal them, two things. The spoken word, and then the living word was Jesus. He healed us. We went to the cross. He died for our sins. As sin is removed from our life, it allows healing to take place more. I mean, we can't live in sin expecting God's healing word to take place in our life because we get that open door. See what I'm saying? Revolving door on that. It's like turning the furnace up to get warm in here, but leaving the door open. Let's close the door first and it'll work properly. Amen? Okay. So the spoken word of God is so very powerful. And you know, if you're at home, you have someone with you at home, speak it over one another. How often do Carol and I speak the word of God over one another or remind us to say it? I mean, if one of us start getting down over it, over top of one another, we get that word of God out and we speak it. And that word of God will do exactly what it's supposed to do. You know? You have a situation in your life that's going, wahoo, you find a scripture and what it says. And you speak that scripture out. It's hearing the word of God and allowing it to change the way that we react to things. Sometimes we pray for things and we have it in our own head how it's going to take place. We think, okay, this is how it's going to be. And when it doesn't take place the way that we want it to be, we think, man, our prayer wasn't answered. But folks, when you believe in the Word of God, I mean, He hears our prayers. Sometimes what it is, we're just not looking in the right place for the answer. Amen? Because God answers things in different ways. But what motivates Him is faith. Now, I shared before, again, if you've been with me a while, maybe you might get tired of hearing these things, but I was going to tell you how it works. I know His Word is true. I go back to a time where we didn't have a washing machine. And I needed one. And I remember being outside drinking my coffee in the morning before we started the ministry here to serve. I said, God, I know Your Word is true. And Father, I follow Your Word. I tithe, I give offerings. And You said, You'll supply all my needs, the rich and glory in Christ Jesus. So I know there's a washing machine out there, Father. Show me where it's at. Finished my coffee, walked through here, the phone rang. Hey, Pastor, you need a washing machine? I just think I might buy you one. Of course, I said, no, God supplied me one. No, I didn't. But see, I went in faith towards God, and I asked Him. And boom, just standing on His Word. I say that, but that is funny, because some of the time, before we get used to this, we can say, well, no, God, I don't need, or not God. no, I don't need, God's going to supply for me. And okay, well, thank you. You hang up. There was, God was already supplying for you, but you was looking for one to drop from heaven, maybe. You know what I'm saying? And, or that pride thing, say, well, no, I'm not going to have someone buy you. But no, see, when we allow people to be used by God to bring us a blessing, not only are we blessed, but also those who are obedient to God's Word. And I learned something, and it was awesome this week. I love it when people call me, or they get a hold of me, they have a situation, and they want to talk about it. And then we pray about it. And we had a situation this week, man, I was so blessed. I got to talk to a man of God and had this situation going on and just want to talk to me. But before we got off the phone, we prayed that, you know, God, we just turn our face towards You, and God, that we find favor in all that we need to be done, and that doors would open up and opportunity be given, that this situation would be resolved in the name of Jesus. And I believe in the Word of God. Well, the next day, this man of God went to do as we had talked. And when he went to the place that we was praying for, an open door, it was tight. It was shut tighter than you could ever imagine. But you know the awesome thing is? That man of God didn't walk away. That's, no. He came back to me. He told me what took place. And we found out something. Remember this. If you pray for the door to be open, and you go to the front door and it's locked, go to the back door. We went to the back door and it came wide open. It came wide open. Yeah, we could have got discouraged and said, there's nothing more we can do. But we didn't. And God opened the back door up, and what that man of God and his bride needed to do, God took care of it. Yeah, it just blesses me. But it just showed me that sometimes we look at, okay, I want this done here, but God's got this door over here, and we don't show discouragement. Man. And today, I don't know if a prayer and worship team wants to kind of play in the background, if you want to just play softly in the music, but I just want to go before the throne of God today, join in with other brothers and sisters around the world, and seek God's face. Yeah, not only seek for this cure for this. I mean, other nations right now, you don't know how much is real when you hear stuff, but they've got a lot of issues with this virus also. And out here locally, there's one spotted in Tuscarawas County now. But we got to remember that God can bring a cure to this in many different ways. Amen? He can reach down and stop it, or He can call someone to know how to handle it. I don't know. But I just know that prayer is very powerful. And there's a book in your Bible called the Book of Esther. Anybody familiar with Esther? Okay. We share it once in a while. But last week I was talking about prayer and fasting. Now, I joked about this week we'd be tithing, and that's why some people ain't here, I guess. But no, just kidding. But in the Book of Esther, I'm going to bring like, there's 9 chapters all down to this much right here. Is Israel was taken to in captivity, and as they continued to multiply and stuff, not everybody was so glad that they were multiplying. And anyway, there was one of the little girls, and I can't say her name properly, but Esther is what she's called. I don't know her Hebrew name. As the king was looking for another queen, she was selected. Esther, a Jew, was brought into the king's castle, and after 30 days of prep and all this stuff, she became the queen. Okay? And as time went on, one of the right-hand guys of the king had a problem with Esther's uncle, Mordecai. Because Mordecai, loving God, would never bow down in honor of this guy named Haman. Okay? So here he is. He's getting tired of it. A day comes around, and Mordecai heard about an assault on the king. Somebody wanted to kill the king. And he sent word to get to the king to watch out. And he saved the king's life. Well, what the king do? He has a book called the Book of Remembrance. And God has the same book. You write down what something's good done. And what he does, he'll show favor for what was taking place. So Mordecai's name was written down, save the king's life, such a date. Well, one evening, the king woke up, he just couldn't sleep. Bring out my Book of Remembrance. And he read in the Book of Remembrance where Mordecai, the Jew, saved the king's life. And no one ever thanked him for it. So he called Haman in. Haman is the one that hates the Jews. Amen? You follow me on this? And the king said, what should I do for a man that I want to honor so well for what he has done for the king? Of course, Haman thinks he's talking about him. He goes, well, king, you ought to put him in your robe and put him on your horse and parade him up and down the street, saying he was honored by the king. Honored by the king. So he's telling the king to do this because Haman thinks it's going to be him. So he says, great, I want you to do that for Mordecai. So Mordecai, who refused to bow down because he only bows to God, is now on a horse being led by Haman up and down the street. And boy, you talk about eating at him. Not Mordecai, but eating at Haman. Oh. So he comes up with a plot to kill all the Jews. He talks to the king about it. Of course, the king has no idea. You know, he's taking this from his right-hand man. So the king, we want to eliminate them. So he drafts up this paper. The king takes his ring. Okay. Such date, the Jews will be eliminated. Well, the Jews didn't like that too well, did they? Man. So Mordecai tells Esther, who is a Jew the king doesn't know, his queen. So, man, you need to do something. You got to do something here. Otherwise, all God's people is going to be wiped out. Man, and we notice from the lineage of the Jews that Jesus come. So Esther said, okay, I don't know what I can do. And Haman made this comment. He says, man, how do you know, Esther, that you were born for a time like this? Of all her life, this is it. So she needed to go see the king. But you know what? She couldn't walk just up in front of the king and say, hey, hubby, let's talk tonight. No, she had to get permission. It took 30 days in order to even get to go see her husband. But they couldn't wait 30 days because the Jews would be wiped out. So she told Mordecai, you have your people. You have the people. Fast and pray for 3 days. I will do the same with my servants. Then I'll go before the king. It might cost me my life, because she walks in there, even as queen, into the king's court without being permission. So they fasted and prayed. The day came, and she walked into the court, knowing that she'd be put to death. But the king, he had a staff. He's got a special name too. I don't recall what they call it offhand. Maybe somebody here does. But if you raise that scepter, that's what it was, golden scepter. If you raised it up, that means you could enter and he would speak to you. And Esther, after 3 days of the folks praying and fasting, knowing this is the only hope that they have, otherwise they're going to be eliminated, she walks in there, all beautified. And the king looks up, raises that scepter, and she goes in. She gets presented to the king. Boy, you can't believe it. Well, you signed it. He says, well, I've signed. She tells him about the plot to kill all the Jews. Okay, and he signed the paper. I didn't know you were the one. But there's nothing I can do. The king, I put my ring on. A king's law cannot be revoked. But what did he do? He made another law giving the Jews the right to defend themselves and fight back. Wow. Long story short, they did. They were eliminated. Haman, who was going to want to kill Mordecai, was hung on the same gallows that he originally built to hang Mordecai on. All that took place because of God's people coming together to pray and fast, trusting in the Lord. And today we might look at this virus as the same thing. This thing has come and it's attacking people. And if it could be like it says at times, it wants to wipe everybody out. Okay, this weapon formed against us. But God says that no weapon formed against us shall never prosper. And when he says that, he says that because he's reliant upon his people believing his word. Amen? When he says that, through prayer and fasting, oh man, through faith, we can move mountains. So our prayers today, as we go before God, is not falling on deaf ears. Understand that, okay? It is pushing back the darkness. And just as Mordecai had no idea how God would do these things, we might be here today thinking, simply, I don't know how he's going to do this. But we're trusting that God will do, because his people will come before him, intercede, not just for ourselves today. We're interceding for mankind, that this virus will be removed. And God will take it from there. Understand? It's awesome. I mean, the Jews found favor then in the king's eyes after that. And today, our president, our king, if I put it that way, has called for a day of prayer. Seek the face of God. How pleased do you think God is today, right now, with his people and with our leader? I think it blesses God to knowing that a nation is turning back to him, that a nation is acknowledging that he is in control. As we surrender it to him, that he can do many and powerful things. And I am standing on the word of God. And I'm taking as almost a prophecy from our president in agreement that this thing that took off to attack shall disappear just as quick as it showed up. And so if we could all lower the lights here in just a time of a prayer, interceding with the Lord, and we'll give God the opportunity to be God. Amen. And folks, we're not alone. There's millions of us right now gathering in prayer, praying for our country today. Amen. Amen. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he turn his face towards you and grant you peace. And may you walk in the victory, complete victory, that Jesus Christ secured for us on that cross. That victory of healed body, a sound mind, and a renewed spirit. And may his blessings and words of protection fall upon you and your household, and upon all the generations that's coming behind you. And as Joshua said, for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Amen, amen and amen. Give God a hand. Praise God.